The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. Welcome everyone to CPA Reviewed, the official podcast of another71.com. I am your humble host, Jeff Elliott. I'm a licensed CPA in the state of Kansas. Today is Monday, May 14th, 2012. Thank you for listening today. Well, I've been on hiatus. I took a week off and did a little traveling. Left the good people of Kansas and flew up to Baltimore area for the good people at the Maryland Society of CPAs invited me to their annual leadership academy. And it was primarily geared towards people who are working in public practice, which I am not. But it was very interesting just from a leadership perspective and focusing on strengths and all that good stuff. So certainly kept my attention. So thank you to Tom Hood and Chris and Jackie and everyone at the Maryland Society of CPAs. You know, if every state society was as top notch as the Maryland Society, I think you would have pretty close to 100%. Membership levels for the state societies, but that's not the case. So I'm not even a member of my own state society. So, but I'm thinking about joining the Maryland just for kicks and giggles. So, all right. And then while I was up there, I thought, you know, while I'm up there, I might as well do a little bit of traveling. I went up to, flew from Baltimore up to Newark, took a cab to Hoboken, spent the afternoon in Hoboken, New Jersey, and then went over to New York City, messed around Union Square, and then, like all good tourists do, I stayed in Times Square. So, and what do you do when you're in Times Square in New York City? You go see the Avengers. So, I had a good time, but I'm back. So, all right, in today's podcast, we're going to knock out quite a few questions. I'm behind, and so I need to maybe do two shows this week. We shall see. All right. Chris opens it up. He says, Jeff, I'm taking FAR. I've completed all of the lectures and some of the assigned multiple choice questions from my CP review course. I was wondering if you had any advice in terms of what to focus on. My strategy from this point is to just do as many multiple choice questions as I can. I also have a cram course, which I'll probably do later on. Well, all right, completed all of the lectures and done some of the multiple choice questions. Well, in following with the Ninja framework, you've nailed the videos, the N. Hopefully you've taken intense notes, the I. Now you're on the second N in Ninja, nonstop multiple choice questions. So you're really only halfway through because you need to work all of your assigned multiple choice questions, continue to take killer notes, and then the J is for just rewrite it. So you have your notes from the lectures, your notes from the multiple choice questions, and then you need to rewrite those notes because when you just take notes one time, you might as well not take them at all because they mean nothing to you a couple weeks later. So the reason why you rewrite them is because you reabsorb them. You take these notes that you are furiously scribbling on your legal pads, and you consolidate them into these bite-sized fact nuggets that will benefit you on exam day and to your own voice so that it means something to you, and then you carry it around everywhere you go. And then the cram course that you're mentioning is where it all comes together, the final A, the N-I-N-J-A in Ninja. It's where it all comes together. You're reading your notes, and then you watch your cram. You work multiple choice questions, starting with your weakest area first and working backwards, starting with sets of 20, questions of 20. So if you're weak in governmental accounting and not-for-profit, you start there, and then you work till you get the meet the arbitrary levels of maybe around 70%. And then you work backward from there. Then you jump in there and take your exam. But sometimes when you're tired of studying and you just want to get it over with, it's easy. I think multiple choice questions are the easiest thing to do when it comes to studying because they help keep your attention. And they're not as boring as rewriting notes or watching countless hours of CPA review videos. When you're doing multiple choice questions, it's interactive. It's kind of like a brain teaser, so to speak. And so your brain is engaged. So it's easy to say, oh, I'll just do nothing but multiple choice questions from here on out. And that's not the most effective plan of attack. So hope that helps. Emily says, I set for financial and failed, but I did add nine points to my score by following your ELL system, and ELL stands for early, lunch, late, and that's in my free CPA exam study planner at another71.com. And Emily says, so I followed your L system, and I'm writing and rewriting my notes. I feel that I now have my review material memorized. I made a 68 on the exam and thought the simulations were what killed my score. I'm thinking about just doing all of the Wiley test bank questions and sims. I will only watch the videos if I have a trouble area. Do you think this is the best way to proceed? I don't, because I actually think could it work out for you? Yes, it absolutely could work out for you. And I've seen people only use the Wiley Test Bank along with the Ninja Study Guide and pass. Is that a best practice? No, because chances are there are areas in your CPA review video series that while you knew them heading into an exam day, so for financial, maybe you were really strong and knew how to do a bond amortization table frontwards and backwards, or maybe you were just really good with the FIFO, LIFO, and weighted average, and you methods for inventory accounting, and you just really knew them really well. But now you haven't done those questions in a while. And while yes, you can, you will definitely work those questions in the Wiley Test Bank. There might be some theory or some concepts, some do's and some don'ts that you will forget. And if you don't see a question covering that specific angle, then you're liable to actually score worse on exam day because you're basically you're taking a risk. Even people who score a 74, I still recommend watching their lecture videos and getting through them as fast as they can and moving on. I know it's not fun, it's very boring. But you got to do it. Otherwise, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do anything. But I think you might regret it. So I would still watch your videos, get through them as quickly as possible. John says, I've been trying to pass the CPA exam for over 2 years with little success. I'm now considering trying a new CPA review course to hopefully get me over the hump. What are your recommendations on how to look for a CPA review course? Well, very first thing you do is you have to watch the demo videos. And, if you were going to buy a $500 car, would you buy it without test driving it first? No, you wouldn't. Even for a $500 car, you would still take it out on the highway, take it from 0 to 80. Make sure it doesn't fall apart. Make sure it even starts. Make sure that you don't hate the way that it smells inside. Make sure the sound of the muffler doesn't make you want to drive off of a bridge. In the same sense, why would you spend $500 on a section of a review course? And so like for instance, most review courses are outrageously expensive and charge like $500 per section, minimum for a lot of them. So why would you drop $500 on, let's say, financial accounting and reporting without watching a demo first? Just like the car, maybe you hate the mannerisms of the instructor. That's petty, but if you are going to spend 50 hours with someone at 5 a.m. in the morning and basically all hours of the day when you would rather be doing something else, you probably grow to hate them anyway. So you should prolong. You should put that off as long as possible. So make sure that you, number one, that the instructor doesn't drive you crazy, or that their mannerisms are distracting, make sure that you can stand the sound of their voice. Make sure that you like their presentation method. If they just stand there and stare into a camera and read out of the book, well, if that bothers you, you should know that. Or if you don't feel like you can learn that way, you should know that. Or if maybe they're jumping around all over the place and kind of scatterbrained, that's something you should know. Or maybe if you prefer that they write a lot on the dry erase board, but they don't. Or maybe it's PowerPoint based and you hate PowerPoint. Or maybe it's a bunch of highlighting on a screen and you can't stand that. Well, you should know that before you drop $500 on it. So bottom line, so I guess I have three rules of fun. Three rules of thumb. Watch the demo. Make sure that you like what you're buying, or the preview anyway. Buy a course that matches your budget. You know, should you go into more debt to buy a CPA review course? I don't know. That's your call, but hey, I'm sure you already have student loans and everything like that, and credit, you know, maxed out credit cards. Not you, but your average candidate has a lot of student loans and a lot of credit card debt. So this just adds more to it. Definitely a consideration. And number three, does it match your learning style? Again, if it's PowerPoint based and you can't learn through PowerPoint, then you shouldn't buy a PowerPoint based course. If you hate highlighting and think highlighting sucks, don't buy a course where they highlight much of stuff. If you can't stand the sound of an instructor's voice and they're distracting, don't buy their course. So, of course, that doesn't really go with learning style. That's just, again, I mean, I don't want to see you on the another71.com forum griping about an instructor's mannerisms or the way that their voice sounds, because you should know that ahead of time. So anyway, so that's how you pick a $500 review course, is you test drive it. Kendall says, I failed financial by 1 point. I've been there. I studied using 2011 materials, but now it's 2012. Should I keep studying using my 2011 materials and hope it's enough to get me over the hump, or should I buy new 2012 materials? Also, how much time should I give myself to prepare? I only took the exam at the end of the February testing window, so it's still fairly fresh. Well, the 2011 materials that were updated as of July 2011 should have everything that you need to pass in 2012. Of course, is it a best practice to always use updated materials? Yes. So, like, let's say you use some company and you have their 2011 materials that are updated. Well, you should probably have at least some semblance of 2012 materials in your arsenal. So maybe you buy the Wiley Test Bank. Maybe you get some Ninja Notes to go along with it. Maybe the Ninja Audio. And I'm plugging my own stuff that I sell. But So it's okay to use a 2011 review course that you already dropped probably like the equivalent of a mortgage payment on, but you really need to hedge your bets by buying some more cost-effective materials like the Wiley Test Bank and the Ninja Notes and audio. So I guess the question isn't really should you buy 2012 materials because to update them. The question is, should you buy the 2012 materials because this company is not working for you? Maybe you're just not a match for them. It happens all the time. So maybe you need to try a different course, and maybe that's a consideration. But you said that you failed financially by 1 point. I would stick with what you have. I would redo exactly what you just did to score that 74. I would get the Wiley Test Bank, get the Ninja Notes, redo everything that you did before. Don't cut any corners. And then use the Ninja Notes and the Wiley Test Bank and get that extra point. Get that extra 15 points, hopefully. So that's what I would do. Ron says, after 3 tries at financial and no passing, I'm very disappointed and want to give up. I read your journey and was inspired, but at this point I'm thinking it's not going to happen for me. Would you please advise on how to move on after 3 failed tries? Ron, man, you're just a rookie. The site name Another 71 is from me getting pissed off one morning when I scored 3 straight 71s on BEC. So Another 71, I thought, hey, that makes a great domain name. And, you know, I had, you know, if I thought Another 71 would blow up into the number one CPA exam site on the internet and one of the top accounting sites in the world, I would have called it like CPA exam test prep blog academy.com or something. But anyway, Another 71 sounds a lot better, I guess. You know, after failing BEC 3 straight times, I thought, okay, really, what's the blame here? Is it the AICPA, or do I just need to get my lazy butt in gear? And it was the latter for me. It wasn't anyone's fault. It was my fault. And, you know, the days of me coming home from, you know, well, you know, everyone's got the same story. Tired from coming home at work, you know, you got kids running around and you want to do anything but study financial accounting and reporting, so you don't, you know. You eat dinner with the kids. You finally get them to bed by 8 or 8:30. Then you see those books staring at you, and you think, you know, you say, honey, let's watch some DVR, or let's watch some Netflix streaming, or let's just do whatever. And thus the vicious cycle begins of you doing nothing. And so, you know, you keep pushing it off. You say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to study at lunch. Well, lunch comes and your buddy's like, hey, let's go. It's Taco Tuesday. I'm so tired from work. If I sit here in my cubicle, another minute I'm going to scream, I need out. So you go to Taco Tuesday. And then, you know, you think, okay, I didn't study last night. I didn't study today because it was Taco Tuesday. So I'm going to study Saturday, like for 6 hours. Well, Friday night you stay up late. On Saturday you wake up, you're like, oh crap, I really don't want to study today. I got a headache. You're like, okay, I am so going to make this up on Sunday. Okay, I got this. Sunday, you're mine. Well, unfortunately, it's the NFL season, and you know, you spend all day obsessing over whether Cam Newton got 75 yards rushing. So, I mean, that's how it goes. So, so I guess the long and short of it is that, Ron, you have to figure out why you're not passing. Maybe you need a new review course. Maybe you need a new study schedule. Maybe you just need to get your butt in gear. And, if that's the case, then you're just like me and you're just like thousands of other candidates. If it's your review course, like you just can't learn from it because, you know, maybe it's PowerPoint, you can't stand PowerPoint, or maybe you don't do highlighting. And so you need something else, or maybe you just take that same material and maybe you need to like just take furious notes and rewrite your notes and tons of application. But whatever the case may be, do not give up. Like, I firmly believe that if you're smart enough to get an accounting degree, get your 150 hours, man, if you know a difference between a debit and a credit, and you're just freaking persistent and just have a never quit attitude, and you're getting up early, studying at lunch, saying no to Taco Tuesday, studying at night, you're putting in 20 hours a week at least, you know, eventually you'll pass this exam. I mean, look at Joe Marie on the another70.com forum, and she is the poster child for persistence. And, you know, she's not feeling sorry for herself. She's jumping in there. She's like, you know, I failed. So what? I learned from the previous mistake. I don't care what anyone thinks. You know, bottom line, once I get that certificate, who cares? No one's going to ever ask me about my scores. No one's going to ever ask you about your scores. A year from now, no one will care. If you interview for a job, they're not going to say, yeah, I see that you're a licensed CPA. Can you tell me what you scored on BEC? Because we have some financial analysis we think you need to, might want you to do, but we're really curious about how you scored on BEC. Not going to happen. And if it ever, if that ever happened to me in an interview, I would stand up and turn around and walk out because I don't want to work for that company. It means, well, so anyway, Ron, stick with it, man. You can do it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Karen says, my BEC expires May 31st. Can I take my last exam May 31st without losing credit, or would I have to take it before that day? That's a great question. I would call NASBA. Man, my voice cracked. It's like I'm 15. I would call NASBA and double check this. But I think that you could still take your exam May 31st and be okay. However, do your due diligence. And my voice keeps cracking. I think I need some coffee here. Hold on a sec. All right, much better. I would do your due diligence and make sure that you don't have to take it on like May 30th. Okay, very, very, very important. Don't call me up later. Make sure. But I'm pretty sure that you can schedule it for whatever exam it is so that you don't lose BEC. But again, double check that. Rummy says, I just passed my last exam and your information had much to do with that. Oh, good. That I was about to say, and I hate you. Do you have any information on the ethics exam? All right. Well, the ethics exam is state specific. So, like Kansas requires the AICPA ethics exam, which I took. And, anyway, glad that's over with because it, even though it's open book, still a little stressful when you hit submit and you score an 88. So you have to go back through and figure out what two questions need to be tweaked. So you need to find out. Okay, number one, does your state have an ethics requirement? Most of them do. Number two, Do they have their own ethics requirement, or do they require the AICPA ethics exam? If it's the AICPA ethics exam, you have the choice between like the CD-ROM and something like the maybe just a book or something. Anyway, get the CD-ROM because it's easier to navigate and search for answers and such. So, hope that helps. All right, let's do one more. Assad says, I'm just starting my CPA journey. I'm wondering if there's any materials for studying the ethics and governance segments. Is there a test bank I can practice more questions? Well, yeah, I mean, any CPA review course, any materials like the Ninja Notes or whatever, they will cover you know, ethics. So for ethics, auditing, and there's a little bit of ethics and regulation and governance, like corporate governance, that's in BEC. And so yeah, any review course, any test bank like the Wiley test bank will cover all that. So you should be good, Assad. All right, everyone. Well, I was a little bit rusty today, but thanks for sticking with me. Send your questions, comments to another71.com. Click in the upper right-hand corner. Click Ask Jeff, and I promise, I will include it in an upcoming edition of the podcast. You can always go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/another71, and I usually have some goodies on there. So it always pays to like me on Facebook. I like to give away stuff. So, all right, everyone, have a good rest of the week. Take care.